This morning, I'd like to title the message, The Law of Christ. Paul, as he continues, remember coming towards the end of the book of Galatians, he talks about, or he opens up the application part, the part for us, the part we do. Having seen what God has done for us, Paul now calls us to respond to what he's done for us. Here in chapter 6, he's talking about bearing one another's burdens, for this is the law of Christ, bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, the Bible tells us. Paul, addressing those in the book or in Galatia, trying to impose the law, the Judaizers, trying to legalize or add to the gospel, wanting a law, as Peter in chapter 15, in the book of Acts, he says, you know, regarding the inability to keep the law, he said, "Why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear?" You know, Jesus said concerning the Pharisees that, you know, they'll load up a burden on another's shoulders, but they won't lift one finger to, you know, move it themselves. Here Paul's telling us, you know, that we're to bear one another's burdens. We're to care and share for one another. It's part of, you know, the body of Christ. The Bible tells us that the body is one. There's unity of the Spirit, and God calls us to that unity. But here Paul's saying, hey, you want a law, you know, you want to be under the law, try this one on. To bear one another's burdens, for this is the law of Christ. And in by bearing one another's burdens, you fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love. Paul teaches us in Corinthians that we're called to help one another, bearing one another's burdens. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn back to. There's a parallel passage. Paul talking in chapter 12. Look in verse 12. "For as the body is one, he has members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ." Look down in verse 20, chapter 12. "But now indeed there are many members, yet one body." Unity of the body. This passage in Galatians, you know, I kind of jumbled it up for a reason, just cause. You know, he's talking about restoring one that's, you know, if you recognize a backslider, restore him. But you see, you know, he addresses those that really are carnal. They're not spiritual, thinking of themselves higher than they ought, being self-deceived. Here, Paul in Corinthians saying that, you know, the ideal of God and Christ and God's Spirit is that there be unity in the body. We're one. Paul says here that just as Christ is one, so is the body, having many members, yet one body. Unity. That we as the body of Christ are just one together, the unity. You know, and that ideal or seeing through that perspective, you know, it's not hard to bear one another's burdens or to see, recognize or acknowledge the need to bear one another's burdens. For we're one. We're called into the unity of the Spirit. We're called to be one body, to preserve the unity of the Spirit. There's an interrelatedness, a oneness. Through chapter 12 in Corinthians, Paul talks about it. In verse 20, he says, "But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nor much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. He goes on to explain. One body, many members, one body. In the unity of the Spirit, we're called as one. Paul, to the Galatians, says, you know, you're to bear one another's burdens. This is the law of Christ, the law of love. The oneness the Bible speaks about in the Greek is koinonia. It's what communion is, koinonia. It speaks of fellowship, one with another, the body, the unity of the body, the oneness of the body. That's what koinonia is, the oneness, called into the unity of the Spirit, the oneness of the body. It's God's ideal. Spurgeon said that what this text doesn't say. You know, we're called to bear one another's burdens, but we're to help one another. Therefore, he says, you know, just because we're called to help one another, it's not to take it from the negative part to walk up and say, hey, we're called to help one another. Help me. You know, as if we're to milk this or work the system, you know, becoming a dependent. That's not what Paul's intent nor God's intent is for us. He's calling us to participate, to fill the role that God created us to function and fill in the body of Christ. He said here, having, you know, filled, he's calling, talking to the spiritual, those who are spiritual, restore such a one. He said, you know, having recognized another one that's fallen, restore him. And from the perspective of a oneness and the unity of the body, it's easy to see through God's ideal. If you're in that place, if I'm in that place, if I'm in the Spirit, that's what Paul's careful to do. He's calling us to examine ourselves. He's calling us to test to see where we're at. He even says that. He says, you know, after saying restore one another, restore one who's fallen, he says, you know, but make sure, examine yourself. For the flesh disrupts, you know, the unity of the Spirit. Make sure you're not in the flesh. He gives a warning in verse 26, where we ended last week, the last verse. He said, you know, don't be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Don't get, you know, after making the, you know, elaborate distinction between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, the flesh lusting against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, so that we don't do what we want to do, what we will to do. He ends that, you know, distinction with, don't be conceited. Don't provoke one another. Don't, you know, envy. Again, just an extension of the difference between the flesh and the Spirit. Provoking one another. Or, he says, don't be conceited. They're kind of coming from the angle of superiority. You know, you're thinking you're better than. Don't provoke one another. That word actually means to challenge. You know, don't challenge one another from the perspective that you're better or feel like you're superior, think that you're better than another. And he ends that verse with envying. That's like from the perspective of thinking that you don't measure up. An inferior perspective. You know, don't envy. Man, if I only had money. If I only had his gift. You know, if I only had what he had. Envy and jealousy. Don't envy. Don't be conceited. Don't look at this from the perspective of thinking you're better than you are, or from an inferior place, from pride or from thinking you don't measure up, Paul says. He goes on, speaking about examining yourself. It's a distorted view of self. In verse 3, he says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That self-deceptive misapprehension of who we are. You deceive yourself if you think yourself of something that you're not. Paul, here, what disrupts the unity of the Bible. What clouds our focus, seeing or looking or seeing somebody that's backslidden, you know, is our own misunderstanding or misapprehension of who we are. Deception, self-deception, he says. He calls you to examine yourself. You know, make sure, right thinking. He addressed it to the spiritual again, to those who are spiritual. Restore one who has fallen in a trespass, not the carnal. You know, not if you're motivated in the flesh or if you're in the flesh, he's not. This doesn't apply. That's why he kind of goes through the, you know, the length to make sure you're in the spirit. Test yourself. Examine yourself. Examine your own work. You know, if your thinking is wrong, you're off. Make sure your thinking's right. He goes on to, you know, state this so that we would correct ourselves. You know, self-correction, self-examination. The reason I would look at myself in the light of the Scripture, in the light of Jesus Christ, is to correct myself. And here, Paul, you know, addressing those that were self-deceived. I heard a story on the radio on Friday. New Life Live, you ever listen to that? You know, Paul Arterman, I think, or Steve Arterman, one of them guys. They call them the boys, I think. Well, one of them was talking, one of the panelists were talking about how, you know, he was trying to interrelate with his daughter. She was just a little girl. And he drew a little picture of a happy face. And he shows the little girl, and the little girl says, "Hey, that's happy." And he drew a little picture of a sad face. And the little girl's, "Oh, that's sad." Then he made this picture of a growling face, angry face, and showed her. And she says, "That's you, Daddy." And he said, "No, that's your mama." How we don't see ourselves. You know, anger hides. Self-deceptive. You know, and here Paul's saying, examine yourself. Look at yourself. Correct yourself. You know, he's calling us, those who are in the Spirit, those who are spiritual, to engage, to apply. In verse 5, he makes a distinction between bearing one another's burdens and the responsibility to bear our own load. There's a difference between burden in verse 1. Of another, and load. Some translations have burden for both scriptures. But load in verse 5, it really speaks of the responsibility of bearing your own load. It speaks of a soldier's pack, like a backpack. Hey, it's yours to carry. You know, strap it on. We're responsible to carry our own load. That's what Paul's saying. The load that he's calling us to carry is self-examination. It's to look at ourselves in truth. It's to have an honest confession before God about ourselves. And it's to correct ourselves. You know, making that distinction in ourselves. Only we know the truth. God knows the truth about us. But only we can bear that load. Only we know. You know, Jesus said, "Take the plank out of your own eye." You know, restore ourselves is what we're called to bear our own load. That word restore, it means to reset a broken bone by the hands of a skillful surgeon. You know, Paul says, brethren, he said, if you see someone that's fallen, a brother that's fallen, a backslider, he said, restore such a one. With the spirit of gentleness, like a skillful surgeon would reset a bone. There's a way that he's calling us to engage. It's in the spirit of Christ. He said that with the spirit of gentleness. That's why he gives so much length to, hey, make sure you're in the Spirit. You know, Jesus said, take the plank out of your eye before you recognize the speck in your brother's, before you attempt to remove the speck in your brother's. Here, he does the same thing. He says, you know, examine yourself. Make sure, you know, examine your own work, examine your own heart. Make sure you're in the Spirit before you, you know, that's why he's addressing those who are spiritual, not carnal. And as Jesus said, you know, make sure you're restored first before you attempt to restore your brother. He says to do it in the right spirit, a spirit of gentleness as part of the fruit of the Spirit. You remember, we talked about when we went through the fruit of the Spirit, that Christ gentleness. He said a bruised reed he would not break. How tenderhearted, not angrily, not harshly, not severely, but gentle. The Bible tells us in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Self-humiliation. How's that come about? Unless we examine ourselves. Paul telling us in the spirit of gentleness, we're to deal with our brothers that have backslidden or that have fallen, those of you who are spiritual. As Christ shared in the parable we read this morning, bearing the lamb upon his shoulders, you know, you having, you know, a sheepfold, if one sheep got away, wouldn't you leave the 99 and go get the one that got away? Bearing him up on your shoulders, gently, treatment of others who have fallen or slipped. He goes on in this first verse. He says, considering yourself that you won't fall into temptation. You know why we, you know, should take initiative to be a part of the unity of the Spirit in the body. Why we should look at one another, that we're interrelated and interconnected because we're one body. He said, because we're all susceptible to temptation. If one falls, he said, consider yourself, dig yourself. He said, consider yourself that you also may be tempted. As a precaution, as a safeguard, we can all fall before we restore one. Paul says, consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. We can bear one another's burdens in prayer. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul describing, you know, donning the armor of God, you know, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and shod your feet with the gospel of peace and the buckle of truth, the helmet of salvation. He said, take the shield of faith. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then he says, praying always with all supplication for all the saints. Praying. We can bear one another's burdens by bringing one another before the throne. By praying for, you see somebody that's fallen or slipped or backslidden. Maybe the best thing we could do for them is to pray, to bring them up before the Lord. But here, Paul talking about how, as Christians, we're interrelated. We're one spirit. And before we look at our brother with some kind of, he said not to criticize, you know, not to be critical. I used to think, well, you know, my streak of anger when it comes out, I used to, still do, bro, justify it. You know, hey, Jesus was angry. You know, Jesus got angry at the Pharisees. Yeah, Mike, but you're not Jesus. And, you know, Jesus even, you know, we're not to criticize another. Yeah, but we're to be fruit inspectors. There's always that clause giving way that, hey, we can hold on to our self-righteousness, our anger. No, there isn't. There is no clause. We're to lay it down. You know, even to operate or see somebody else to attempt to do anything, to restore another brother or to serve another one in the body of Christ, we have to lay down. It's a spirit of Christ that we're to operate in, the Bible says, you know, with the spirit of gentleness. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We're not to take things in our own hands at all, the Bible says. Let's stand. We're going to take communion this morning, first Sunday of the month. And I don't know if the children wanted to participate. But let's pray. Lord, as we continue through your word, we ask, Lord, that you continue to mold and shape us. Lord, to correct us. Cause us, Lord, to examine ourselves. Cause us, Lord, to be honest before you. Lord, as we come before the table this morning, help us be honest and sincere and true before you. Lord, cause us to be open before you. And Lord, let us not leave here carnal or in our flesh, but touch us, Lord, change us, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.